Hello, it's Between Two Worlds podcast. My name's Luke. I'll be the host, and I'm sorry that we haven't been around.
Why haven't we been around?
I've been around, Luke.
You have not been around.
I haven't seen you for a month.
So that we have Andrew and Ron in here.
Are you still pulling a paycheck here?
I think so. I hope so. Okay. Wait till next payday. We'll see.
So last Wednesday, me, Ron, Levi.
Andrew didn't come.
Was that about?
We went to Shoe Swap.
Day trip.
Isn't it Shoe Swap?
Okay. Shoe Swap, I think.
See, that'd be one of my here's a thing right there would be
how
the
do you
way
say
Andrew
shoe-swap?
Pronounces things.
And he thinks he's the dictionary.
Yeah. It's the way it's spelled, man.
How do you say Soyuz?
Oh, Soyuz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you clueless.
How do you say?
What were you saying? What?
How do you say Gitch?
Gitch.
Okay.
Huh. So we were gone that Wednesday. The Wednesday before that. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
I think we missed two
weeks. You had diarrhea that day, didn't you?
No, that was the day before.
Oh, day before.
I mean, it did spill out into the next day.
Gross.
So.
Ooh.
But I mean,
but you're better now.
I'm just glad you cleaned it up.
Yeah, me too.
You did?
Yeah. No one else would.
Kitch.
Luke was in no shape to clean up after himself.
No. Is anybody ever? Anyways, before we digress too much, we're going to give a quick little recap of what's been happening with high school youth in Abbotsford. We had a hectic grad retreat.
Where'd you go?
We went to Mount Baker.
Oh,
it was beautiful.
First time, right?
12 feet of snow. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Good, first hectic time. Bad hectic?
Good hectic. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Lots of snow. Nice weather. I mean, it snowed the whole time. It was great. And then we had two core groups. Well, we had one core group and then a community kind of core group where all the same gender and grade went to a place. So my boys, we went to Castle Fun Park. Great time. Then the following Thursday, get this, I had a double down.
Like from KFC?
Oh, yeah. Chicken. Waffle. Chicken.
Oh.
Chicken, waffle, chicken, boys.
Wait, the waffle was the inside of the bun.
The waffle was the chicken. The chicken was the waffle.
I can't even wrap my head
around totally
that.
Turned those turntables. That's what they did.
And did you have a small heart attack after?
I must say I couldn't run very fast.
Mm.
But boy, is that chicken and that maple aioli, that's nice.
Ooh, maple.
That's what dreams are really made of.
Maple?
Didn't they just shut down a KFC in town here?
Yeah.
Which one?
The one on right by Seven Oaks Mall there. It's literally gone now.
I think they're...
Like the building is gone.
Isn't that what Abbotsford...
VW.
VW took over.
Oh, did they take over? Oh.
I think they're making fries there now.
Mm.
Out of all those old diesels that they had to
take
in.
That's nice. But yeah, so that's what we've been up to. Getch, what have you guys been up to?
We started a new series a couple weeks ago in the book of 1 John. So we're going through that. We're going to basically fly through the next couple weeks. There's 5 chapters. We're going to go through 5 weeks looking at kind of a key theme from each chapter.
That's nice.
This week is our core group Olympics, so getting all ready for that.
Oh, nice day for it.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Couldn't pick a better day. It's 27 degrees
today. It's 27.
It's going to be hot, man.
So hopefully tomorrow
will be... kiddie pools out there?
No kiddie pools.
What?
Just kiddies.
How can you have Olympics and no kiddie pools?
Well, we're doing a kiddie toss.
Oh.
You're tossing kids?
Kitties.
Kitties. Yeah, kitties, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Instead of shot puts, just kiddie toss. Not kiddie pool, though.
You should get some kiddie pools.
There will be water, though.
Oh, good.
A hydration station. So it's good. Got core group Olympics tomorrow.
Put a hose out there.
No. Just a cooler. Full of water. Yeah, it's going to be good. So we got core group Olympics, and then we're back into our 1 John series. And then before you know it, May's right here, and then soon it'll be June. And then...
Soon it'll be July.
And then summer's here.
Then it's August.
And then September. And here we go then all over again.
We're almost like kickoff.
Man. And then Christmas.
Christmas is right around the corner, guys. Ron, have you bought anything yet?
For Christmas?
Yeah.
I'm still working on last year.
Catching up.
Anyways, boys, now it's time for my favorite segment. And that's Here's the Thing. So do you know who's up? Gitch, your turn with Here's the Thing.
This better be good.
Okay, here's
surprises.
The thing. Here's the thing. What I don't understand is why stores, retailers, restaurants, mostly retailers and like fast food restaurants, why they have to go and be so complicated with their open signs. In my mind, you're either open or you're closed.
Yes, I think that, yep.
Now, they have these inventions that you hang it in the window and it illuminates, and the word open either is lit or unlit.
Okay.
If it's lit, that implies they're open. You can go in. They're ready for business.
Yeah.
If it's off, it means they're closed. The doors are locked. Nobody's there. They can't help you. Come again tomorrow. Is that right?
Is that what that means?
I think.
Generally.
You've got it down.
I think you understand the concept of an open sign.
The open sign.
Closed concept.
Okay. Now, some of these open signs are a little fancy where they'll have the hours of operation in the sign. It's pretty cool. But some of them are even fancier, where they'll flash on and off, or maybe it'll trace the letters of the O and the P and the E, and it'll just trace it.
This
is a little LED thing buzzing around. But what drives me nuts is how many times I glance over at a store to see if they're open, and in that split second that I look, the sign is not illuminated. So in my head, I go, oh no, they're closed. I'll just carry on. When they're fully open.
You take really quick glances.
How do you know they're open? You've already made up your mind they're closed.
Because the sign told me they're closed. So here's why this is the 1-2 punch for them. And the joke actually is on them. See, they're trying.
The joke's on them.
Because I'm not shopping there.
Oh.
Because I think they're closed, right?
I'm sitting on my wallet.
I'm taking my $4 somewhere else, right? But the thing is this, it's a little bit ironic because in an attempt to catch your eye and have that flashy kind of cool sign, what happens is when you look at it and it's off, then you think they're closed and you just carry on.
But I think I'm going to stick on the behalf of those business owners that when they have that, they expect someone to look longer than half a second.
No, some of these flashes are slow. It's on and then it's off.
So a second in between.
At least a second.
What about the one that has the cursor that fills in the line? That must drive you nuts.
It does. Because I'm trying to spell it out. O, P,
what's the next letter? Or, what's the next letter?
If yeah.
Is it E? No.
Or if it starts at the E and then you're like E-N-O-P, Enop.
Oh, man.
Oh, just.
Have you ever thought about doing a survey and seeing if people really are upset about this kind of a thing?
Well, I know I sure am.
Like, you should just kind of put a little desk out in some of those things and start talking to people as they're coming by. What do you think of this open sign?
What do you think? I guess the problem and the thing about all this is just that, why do we need to complicate it? Like, can it just be open or closed? Or can we not just Google it? Hey, is the store open?
But you know about that store right now because of that lousy sign.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about it.
And now we're talking. What's the name of that store?
I can't say on
you
the
You don't
air.
Want to give them any
publicity.
You've withdrawn your...
You don't want to send 1,000 people.
You have withdrawn your financial support. So, that's right. Haven't you?
This is like episode 47. So I'm beginning to think that... correct me if I'm wrong. There's a lot of things wrong with this world.
A lot. I won't correct you because you're right.
And you feel like you have a grasp on what should happen.
No, I just have an opinion. That's all.
Just all.
Yeah, just an opinion.
Do you have high expectations, though, for certain things, don't you?
Like open signs? Have one job. That's open or closed.
Like you're fired.
Yeah. Boom. Get a new sign, people.
Or who's in charge of the sign?
Yeah.
Like maybe it's a great restaurant with a lousy sign.
Right.
And so you're missing out. Because of that sign.
Who's missing out?
That them sign or, stood in the way me. Of a scrumptious meal for you.
Yeah. But they lose out on my 4, 5, 20, 80 bucks.
Depends if you're with the family.
No tip for them. They'll never know how much I tip.
Have you ever thought about getting them a new sign?
I wouldn't do that.
I feel like this is something that could be solved if you became mayor.
I could just make a bylaw.
I think it's going to take
flashing
counseling.
Signs.
It's going to take counseling.
There's just lots.
Open, closed.
Right?
Open, closed.
I just don't think it's too much to ask. And I think that in an attempt to catch your eye and to be fun, cool, and trendy and flashy, they've just lost customers. Mm. That's all. Because they're confused.
Customer.
I don't know.
Customer.
Right.
We can only verify one.
Right.
This is one.
You guys have never had this problem.
No.
No.
Thanks, Gitch.
Maybe we have a longer attention span than you. We can actually... I can hang on to that sign for 2.5 seconds.
But you know what else you could be doing in those 2 seconds? You could carry
reaching
on...
Reaching for my wallet.
Right? But
I'm not. But you're not.
Right?
Carry on. Keep walking.
I think we might need to rename this. Instead of here's the thing, we switch it to this is what Gitch thinks is wrong with the world.
Right. Just one here's the thing podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Andrew Gulovich.
Mm.
And he just rants for 30 minutes straight.
That would be awful.
Now, if that's something you'd listen to, please email us. And we will set this up. And it's just straight Andrew.
Speak of listeners, all the time. I did promise a shout out to one of our listeners.
Oh, let's hear it.
I promised a shout out to...
You didn't run it by any of us.
I'm going to just do it now. Calvin Krivoshin. He's one of my middle school boys.
Calvin.
Calvin, welcome here.
You bet, buddy.
Yeah. He says he listens to us before going to bed. He might be sleeping by now. I don't know.
Calvin, is your open sign on or off?
Anyways, as we get too far away, we're going to talk a little bit, because that's close to the year end. I was at MEI, and at MEI, I was driving by to pick up one of my youth boys, and I see, like, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 kids just standing outside all along the front of MEI. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Fire drill.
Nope. And apparently, it was grade 8 visit day. So all the grade 8s came from the middle school. They trekked all the way from the middle school to go and visit the high school. I remember when I did this in grade 8, we got on a bus and we visited for half a day. And it was awesome because I got to see the school. I mean, I don't really get it when MEI does it because they literally, you can just look, it's just right there. Window.
You drive, don't you have to drive past the high school to get to the middle school?
Depending on where you come from, but yes.
Middle school to get to the high school.
Right.
So I'm just, anyways, besides the point,
yes.
We're going to talk about transitions.
Okay.
So going from grade 8 to grade 9 to grade 10, 11, and then graduating.
Mm.
So we're going to actually do a little bit of rapid fire. We're going to go pretty fast through these things and spend a couple of minutes on each one.
Well, can I interrupt?
You can interrupt me, sure.
Maybe give the hardest transition year that you guys had.
Sure.
Like you had in middle school or high school, what was the hardest year for you?
Mine was going from grade 8 to grade 9.
Okay.
I didn't have a solid group of friends going in, and Mowat was a feeder, or Chief Dan and Gordie Howe fed into Mowat.
Yeah.
So there's a whole nother, I wasn't like MEI, it just stays MEI.
Yeah.
Whereas Mowat was a combination of two schools, or even possibly probably more, and so it was like there's a whole... like 150 new kids that I was going to be in class with now.
Yeah.
I didn't know everyone. I just spent 3 years.
So you had 150 grade 9 kids? That was about how many
300.
Were you? 300.
300? 300. 370? 380?
Yeah, maybe more than that. Yeah.
But like that. But 150 new ones.
Oh,
I knew
yeah.
100. And,
yeah, you knew that many.
Right.
Yeah,
and right. So that year was finding a friend group, finding people I like to hang out with because I didn't have a strong friend group in grade 8.
Yeah.
And then just trying to find myself, like, who do I want to be? Yeah, that kind of person, just trying to find myself.
Andrew, what was yours?
My hardest transition would have been probably from grade 7 to 8, and that's just because of circumstances, because my parents made a move from Alberta out to up to BC. So for me, that was the hardest part, being uprooted from one community, leaving my friends, all that stuff behind. So that's circumstantial, but I think beyond that, once I got settled in after grade 8, I would say the hardest transition was probably from 9 to 10 because I grew up on the island and that's when high school began, was in grade 10.
Right.
So grade 9 was middle school, you know, you're whatever, going through puberty, all that stuff. And then grade 10 is kind of the start of high school. So you get a whole mixture of, I mean, some grade 10 boys look like men by grade 10. Some grade 10 boys still look like little boys by grade 10. So for me, I was kind of somewhere in the middle, just even maturity wise, I was trying to figure out which way was up, which way, you know, who I was, who my friends were, which places of the school were safe, which sports I wanted to play. So by grade 9 to 10 was probably the hardest transition for me.
Yeah.
Ron? The second year of grade 8 or?
I was going to say probably the second
or the third.
Year.
Was it the third?
No, I managed out, I weaseled out of grade 8 the second time around.
You mean the third time around?
But second time.
You did grade 8 twice.
Yeah, I know. So the second time I was done with it.
So you didn't have to do it three times.
Didn't have to do it three times. But that was a fairly significant time for me. I mean, I was a bit of a jokester, prankster, get in trouble sort of kid in grade 8. And hence failed the class because I got kicked out of class all the time and thought I was this you know, automatic comedian. And so all of a sudden I realized I failed a grade and I start back to school in fall and I'm in a classroom, and I sort of know it's a small school. It's, you know, small town Saskatchewan, so you kind of know most people anyways, but all of a sudden, I'm not in the same group of friends anymore.
That's got to be tough.
And I was hard. I mean, you're a bigger kid because you're 1 year older, and you're, you know, you're a tough kid because you failed the grade. All the tough
kids. And you're bigger.
Yeah.
You're not, you weren't a small dude.
I
was a small
kid. So, I mean, you know, so I mean, obviously, I had a bit of an intimidation factor going for me, but I, that wasn't my personality, though. But that was a hard time for me because all of a sudden, I realized I have friends in a different grade. And now I have to make new friends. And that was a new experience for me.
So, interesting.
There was a lot of pressure on that. There was a lot of peer pressure, I remember, because all of a sudden there's this sense of, okay, I've got to learn how to adapt.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So,
yeah. So if you guys were to say, what would be something of a hardship for people going into grade 8 to 9, for parents to watch out for, and for parents to help come alongside kids that are going from grade 8 to grade 9.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll jump in first here, then you guys can add on. I mean, as a parent, you know, if you've got kids, it's obviously if it's the first one, it's brand new to them and it's brand new to you. If it's your second or third or fourth, you know, child through this, you know, it's okay. I've got this down. But if you're a new parent and you're in, your oldest is now moving from grade 8 to grade 9, that's a high school, middle school transition. That's something that, okay, the school is bigger. The world is less controlled. There's way more freedom in high school than there is in middle school. And the choices that are you're able to make. So their world opens up drastically. Mm. And so I would say that as a parent, you want to be talking with your son, with your daughter on this. And there's a couple of things you look at. Okay, do they have friends? Like you mentioned, okay, where's my friend group? You know, and so those are important aspects. Like if they feel alone, that's going to be a harder transition. If they have friends, if they have good, solid friends, you know, that's going to help the transition. You cannot hold their hand in school any longer.
Yeah.
Just so you know that. I mean, a grade 9 boy does not want to be walked into school by his mom, you know. And so parents, you got to figure it out. Okay, this is how this is going
to
go. I
don't want to be walked into school grade 6 through 8.
I know.
Or
grade
5, 4,
actually 1.
You grade told 1, I told my mom, get off my back.
No, no way.
Stop walking me to school.
So I think in that sense, so you know, you want to check friends. You want to check, just even your whole son or daughter's, you know, understanding what it means to move from a middle school to high school. Do you understand the changes? Talk about them. You know, this is going to be different now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be moving. Like if memory serves me right, in middle school, the classes don't move. The teachers move, correct?
No, you move.
Don't the teachers?
No, you still move in the classes like in a pod. So your class will be in this class. Same class. We're in high school. The teachers stay in the classrooms, but you just like switch around with different classes.
You'd have a different each block would have like a different.
In middle school, you'd have the same 30 kids.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So that changes. Right. You know, there's a couple of those things that factor in there. But for me, I think as a mom and dad, I want to make sure that my son or daughter has a good friend group with them. Yeah. Have they prepared that way?
Yeah. I could see in the grade 8 to 9, that transition is being like almost a catalyst. It's a little preview of what's going to happen throughout your kid's high school life. Mm-hmm. Kids are ruthless. And what happens in like grade 9, that can set you up for what everyone thinks of you,
mm-hmm.
which is terrible. But in a sense, it gives you almost a fresh start in some schools. And you can be like, okay, who do I want to be? What kind of person do I want to be? What do I want to be known by my peers? And so parents, this is a great opportunity for kids to be like, okay, so like what kind of person do you want to be known in your high school? Mm-hmm. Let's set this up at the beginning and let's try to talk about this.
Yeah, and I think it depends based on where you live, like what your catchment is. Sometimes the high school starts as early as grade 8. But most of the time, though, it's grade 9. And then sometimes it's even 10.
And what's the MSS?
MSS, I believe, starts in grade 10.
Yeah.
So, but some of the middle schools go to 9, some of them go to 8.
10, yeah.
Yeah. So, but even MSS, that whole thing where the three high schools joined back in 2016, mm-hmm. what is, I mean, that's a whole nother topic,
yeah.
but basically depending on where your community is, that'll change when that transition year is. And so whenever that falls, I think, at least I remember when I entered high school going into grade 10 was the biggest thing for me is that I was expecting, you know, drastic changes and for my whole world to be different, you know, mm-hmm. now that you're in high school. And I remember being kind of surprised that the biggest change was really just the school itself. I mean, and the classes and stuff. But from a development perspective or friends, I remember my world didn't change a whole lot. But I remember I didn't know what normal was supposed to feel like. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the important things to remember whenever that transition year is from middle school to high school or even elementary school straight into secondary school is to go with it and to not... you know, understand that your experience as a student or even as a parent going through this will be unique. Some parents, you know, mothers especially, can be really emotional, especially if it's their oldest mm-hmm. going up, you know, growing up, going to high school, or maybe if it's the last, right? If it's the third of three kids going into high school, right? It's their baby going into their final years of school. And so just understanding that there is no normal in that sense. And for each person in each family, it'll be unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about grade 9 to 10?
Yeah. Well, I would say that grade 9 to 10 and even 8 to 9, those are the two most pivotal years, I think, of transition in an adolescent. I think puberty, you know, obviously with boys, it's a little, you know, it doesn't ramp up as much as it does with girls. Girls mature faster in grade 9 and grade 10. Boys lag behind. They kind of catch up towards, you know, the back half of grade 10. And you realize, okay, yeah, they're starting to mature. But I would say the developmental process there is incredibly important for parents that understand. I mean, the whole physical side, the emotional side. I mean, all of this is just coming on them in waves. So the whole social side, the mental side, all of those things are just coming, you know, and so that obviously affects the spiritual side too. Yeah. And so I think as parents, these first 2 years, I would say, are really, really of grade mm-hmm. 9 and 10 are really important. That's why we always talk about them in youth group. If we don't catch them in grade 9, it's really hard to get them back, mm-hmm. you know. And so as parents, I'd say, you know, if they to have them have a good start in school, in their public school or private school, whatever, make sure they got a youth group that they can also connect with. Mm-hmm. I think that's really crucial because that's where they're going to find, hopefully, that strong spiritual development as well. That's going to coincide with their physical development, their mental development, their emotional development. This is changing so rapidly. You all of a sudden you inherited this grumpy, frumpy, grunting teenager that has a very limited vocabulary and is not terribly excited to talk to you, mom and dad, you know, and it changes everything. Mm. Well, that, and you wonder, is that how they act in school? Likely not, you know? Yeah. So they, you know, and I think in that world, that 9 and 10 is absolutely crucial. I think if we could kind of, you know, figure that 9 and 10 out, that's going to help our grade 11 and 12 out. I don't know what you guys think about it.
I think academically, even in grade 10, that's where the shift begins to turn more towards adulthood and what's going to happen post-graduation. I mean, that's mm-hmm. not to say that a grade 10's got their whole life figured out and where they want to go, but that's where the school system sets them up to start making some decisions. In grade 10, you still take a generic science course and math, but you begin to get a little bit more freedom with what classes you want to take. Which track are you going to go? I mean, you can start to choose things like, you know, your fitness things, your electives. Grade 10 is where exams start to really matter. I mean, I remember in grade 9, you had tests and stuff, but provincials and exams really only start to get serious in grade 10. So I think academically that the pressure, you know, the dial's turned up a little bit, you know, the starts to mean a little bit more how you perform academically. And yeah. There's a little bit more consequences to, you know, being lazy, not doing your homework, being, you know, not getting stuff done. So I think even in an academic world, the pressure kind of is on yeah. more so than, you know, your childhood years are behind you by the time you meet that grade 10 yeah. spot.
Okay, what about 10s to 11s, that transitional year? I think for seeing it back in my high school life, that is the opportunity where more responsibility mm-hmm. is had, where you're now the upperclassman.
Could be getting your driver's license.
Driver's yep. license that year.
Job.
You're probably job.
jobs.
Probably should have a job by then.
Yeah.
That summer you should be having a job and then continue throughout the year. You get responsibility, car. You really start to notice the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. Dating starts happening.
Parties, more freedom.
Freedom. Parties start happening. Mm-hmm. Just other things.
And I think this is where you can get somewhat distracted, you know, because, I mean, as a high school kid, I mean, life is pretty good. I mean, if everything is going okay at home and you've got good friends, I mean, high school is pretty good, really good.
Totally.
You know? And so I think hit grade 11, you're part of the older echelon. You know, you're, you know, like you said.
You start hanging out with grade 12s maybe.
Yeah.
You're kind of in with them.
You realize that if you're on a team next year, I'm grade 12, you know, and if you're good enough, you know, you're playing, starting, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, or you're getting more and more roles of responsibility, like you said, in school and things like that, and maybe even in jobs and things like that. So I think as parents, you want to try to tap into that and ask, you know, start asking the questions like, what are you passionate about? Mm-hmm. You know, where do you see yourself? Do you have any interests? You know, high school is that time to kind of mine up some of the passions and interests. And all along, you know, mom and dad, you're putting, you know, Christ first. You're putting, you know, church and commitment to the Lord and all that. You're living it out there, maybe doing missions trips, you know. All those kinds of things are starting to happen. And so there's some, I think in that grade 11 time and grade, the commitment to follow Christ is pretty huge.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Get you anything?
Yeah. The other thing I would add is just, again, I keep going back to academically thinking about what the school world looks like. And I think in grade 11, that's where I think a lot of people can make that decision. And it isn't always grade 11. I mean, a lot of these things aren't cut and dry guidelines of timelines. But in grade 11, that's where I think students have I think a lot of times it's a decision. There are other factors, but where they really excel academically or they really kind of lag behind. I mean, that's kind of where your bad habits will really start to catch up to you. That's where you got to decide if you're going to apply yourself and really push towards the end of grade 12, scholarships, bursaries, all those kinds of things. If academics are something you're interested in, or if you're okay just kind of showing up, you know, and getting stuff done or not, and just kind of scraping by.
Okay, what about 11 to 12? You're in your grad year, you're at the transitional summer, right till grade 12. What's going on?
I think there's a lot of hype for that year, especially too, even just thinking about our youth group world at our church world. I mean, the grade 12s really, we do celebrate them, and I think we should. We should celebrate the accomplishment. They're really the kind of the forerunners, I think, of their peers. You know, they're kind of trendsetting. They know that all the eyes are on them, in the sense of what are people doing? Where are you going? How is grade 12 going for you? Who are you taking to prom? I mean, there's all these factors. It can be a bit of a flurry. I mean, there's so many variables between things we've already brought up, jobs, boyfriend, girlfriend, extra things like sports, teams, music, whatever. Grade 12 can be a bit of a flurry. I mean, you start getting a little bit of the school system throws you a bit of a bone there. Sometimes you can get a spare, things like that, or you could start doing some, whatever, teacher's assistanting or whatever. There's a lot, I guess, a lot more freedom in that sense. There's a lot more coming at you in grade 12. Yeah.
This is also where kids can really start showing their gifts, what they're good at, what their talents are in life. And I think as parents, it's a great place to be an encourager. Mm-hmm. Is start to notice and encourage your kid to be like, hey, I see you good at this. Have you ever thought about like trying to pursue a career in this? I think one danger is parents saying, wow, you're really good at video games. Maybe you should pursue that. I mean, like that's, I don't think ever a good idea.
Nope.
Because there's too many kids who have dreams of becoming
professional video.
And I think sometimes it takes an adult or a leader figure in their life to really point that out. I mean, you see it a lot where students are good at a lot of things. They're hard workers. They've got good discipline. They have a good work ethic. But it takes somebody actually pointing that out and saying, hey, you are incredibly gifted at communication or whatever. It takes someone from the outside looking into their life and actually affirming in that. So parents and you know, aunts, uncles, whatever, it is important to remember, if you've got a teenager in your life, to encourage them mm-hmm. and to affirm them in areas where they're doing well.
Yeah. And also, I think one help is not to ask too much of what their future plans are. I think those conversations are good, but so many kids.
Yeah.
And just like people who are graduating from college, what are you going to do now? So many kids are just like, I don't know. I really don't know.
And I think, you know, probably as we wrap this up here, a couple of things that I think about on all of this is that mom and dad, whether your kids are homeschooled, whether they're in a private school, whether they're in a public school, any or all of those options, you are the parent mm-hmm. and you are responsible for, in many ways, the identity of your son or daughter. Yeah. You know, who are they in Christ? Mm. And, you know, I mean, teenagers are born with that search engine to look for affirmation, for attention, for affection, for all of these things that where are they going to get it? And so when they transition to a new school, that's churning inside of them. When they lose a good friend who for some reason just dumps them, you know, a relationship goes bad and the friend group goes south, you know, how do we handle that? Mm. You got to think identity. You got to think, okay, how is my son or daughter's identity being formed here? And you are a huge part of that, mom and dad. And so that alongside the church and being involved in youth ministry and staying connected with a solid group. I mean, sometimes these mom and dad, you have to navigate with them through this time, but you do have a huge say in all this. And so when they get to grade 12, you know, you've got a good relationship with your son or daughter that you can talk about. Okay, what's the next step? You know, and it's not what you do, it's who you are. Mm. That's the true statement here.
Yeah. I think that's as good as any to leave this podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions or anything you want us to talk about or just anything in general.
Or if you want a shout out.
Or we're just going to say this podcast is now closed. It is no longer open.
Open, closed. Open,
closed.
I don't know. It's flashing. I don't know what to do. Can someone help me? Someone help me with just figuring out
if this... Unplug the dumb thing.
Just unplug the thing. We'll just, that's what we'll do. We'll just unplug this pot.